Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for sustaining us another day, another second. We understand, Lord, that our very breath is in your hand. So we thank you, Lord, for keeping that hand open, Lord, for giving us life, for being our life, Lord. Thank you for your word. We ask that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, decaying, fallen, broken world. My God, thank you for your word that sustains us, leads, guides, and directs us. Holy Spirit, teach now. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, family, we are at Psalms 18. And we will kind of be all over the place this morning, Natalie. So anyway, we'll figure it out together. Family, I can't stress enough. Okay, each morning we should be ministering to God before you got here. Family, we do have to participate in our own spiritual growth. Just get up 2 minutes earlier. I'm telling you, no, make it 4 minutes. 2 minutes for prayer and meditation, 2 minutes in the Word. But just practice that. Start practicing that. Because why? Because it's just so much that goes on in a day and in the world. And if you don't have the Word of God leading you and giving you a biblical perspective on life, you could lose hope, get caught up in the wrong things. So that's why God's just impressing me is so, so important to stay in the Word. I had a guy at the gym this week. He asked me if I believe in the horoscope. Of course not. But he was trying to tell me they were adding some 13th thing. And it's just like, dude, what are you talking about? Are you too old for that? It absolutely made no sense. You know, but that's what people do. You can't, you know, lead your life by the horoscope. I said, so if that's the case, what about what it's told you all up to this time? Yeah, I guess it didn't mean nothing. Okay. All right. Planting seeds, family. Plant seeds wherever we are, right? But the horoscope, the Proverbs have replaced the horoscope and the fortune cookie. Somebody say amen. Let the sign of the cross and the resurrection and the significance of that replace your sign, whatever that was supposed to be. Don't get excited about, more excited about a lottery ticket than you do the word of God. And we can't be more excited about our kids getting into college than them accepting Christ.
Amen.
Amen. That's what culture says. I'll say it again. You tell somebody your kid's not in college, they look at you like you're a failure.
But they're born again.
Yeah. But they're born again. They're a Christian. They'll discount that. And these colleges now, the things they're teaching, I don't know if we should get excited about our kids going to college anymore. I just know, as just pastor, I'm getting weird. All right. But I'm telling you, if you saw some of the things I saw on these college campuses, you would not be excited about your kids stepping into that. Now, if you're teaching your kid and you're training your kids, then, you know, they're equipped to deal with it. But I'm no longer excited about kids going to college unless they're grounded in Christ. Amen. So we've been on the theme of the old versus the new, humility and versus pride. God says he's elected us, and he's elected us to be a special treasure, not to live like trash, as we learned in Psalms 1. So the question is, this week, did you live like treasure or trash? Amen. That's between you and God. That's between you and God. Did your choices reflect that you're the son of the king living like a treasure, or are you caught up in the world living like trash? What did your choices reflect? So are we at Psalms 18? I keep wanting to say Psalms 118. There is a Psalms 118. I need to look to see what that says, because I keep saying in my head Psalms 118, but we should be at Psalms 18. Amen. I hope you called on the names of God, at least one or two of them that are mentioned in Psalms 18, verses 1 and 2. We talked about this being a song. Where is JL at? Because JL said, Dad, you shouldn't try and sing in church. But I just sang the first verse one. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Amen. All right. I did it again. I told her I would because she told me not to. So, but with all the things that David is going through, he can sing to the Lord. Somebody say amen. Come on, family. He can still get that song out to the Lord. Then in verse 2, he said, the Lord, and we broke all these down last week. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer. And I hope you called on, because if you were like me, knowing that we live in a fallen, broken world, at some point this week, you had to call on one of these. My rock, my fortress, my deliverer. Somebody say amen, which means he's my way of escape. Lord gave me a way to escape some foolishness. Somebody say amen. He's my God. He's the Almighty. And he's the Lord. He's the existing one. He's my strength in whom I will trust. If you don't have trust, underline it now. My buckler, which means he's my shield. He's the horn of my salvation and my high tower, my refuge. Verse 3, I will call upon the Lord. Make a note. Did you call on him this week? That's how we have to participate. We have to call on God. We have to be active in this. David said, I called upon the Lord. The Lord can't answer if you don't call. It says, seek and you shall find, and knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. But you have to participate in this. You have to do something. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved or rescued from my enemies. So, family, remember, we have to sell out 100% to God. You have to know the attributes of God. If you don't know who God is, how can you call on God at a particular time? You're the special treasure. God is the existing one. As much as you need to know who you are in God so you live like a treasure, you have to know that God is the existing one and that he is the Almighty. You have to know that. As we conduct our lives day to day, you have to know that. The enemy will try and do everything to convince you that it's not, but you got to know that, Brother Ivy. That's what we have to stand on. That's all we have is the word of God, our faith. We got to stand on that. Talk to God. Call on God. And then give God 100%. Remember, if we don't give him 100%, we'll never know what God could have done. The minute you stepped in and the minute you step in and you take over, then you tie the hands of God and you never know how God would have worked that out. And this is, it's easy from 9 to 10:30 on Sunday. But we know when we leave here and Monday through Saturday, that's when we really challenge and test it. This is just our filling station. Get refueled and refilled and refreshed and renewed and get the biblical perspective on life. And then we go out and live this thing. But in verse 4, there is a shift. There is a shift. And then David starts talking about the particulars of it. And he breaks it down even further. And as you go through and he tells what happened, he says in verse 4, the sorrows of death surrounded me. And the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. So now he starts telling you exactly what happened. But if you notice, before he got into what was going on, he exalted God where God needed to be. Before you start complaining about what's happening, you better acknowledge who God is primero, first. In that way, he said, God is my rock, my fortress, my shield, my buckler, my horn of my salvation. And he said, you know, by the way, these ungodly dudes surrounded me. I thought I was going to die. But I recognized who God was first. He didn't start talking about, you know, they're after me. They're trying to get me. He said, no. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. He called on God first. Always lift God way above your problems, your issues, and your circumstances. Amen. Lift God way above that, and then you deal with what you got to deal with, but it never takes the place of God. He gives us a formula, he gives us a strategy, a blueprint on how to deal with difficult situations. And as we continue to live in this fallen, broken world, trust me, we're going to deal with situations that are tough and difficult, but now we have the formula. I would even say make a note to add this, to slide this in for 30 seconds where you just go over who God is in the morning before you have to go outside and deal with all the things that you and I have to deal with. So when the problems come, it's no big deal because God is my refuge. He's the horn of my salvation. He's my rock. He's the existing one. He's the Almighty. Oh, I can deal with anything that comes my way. Yeah, he's the high tower. He's the refuge. He's my deliverer. So when I get into a situation that's trying to tempt me, God will give me a way to escape. That's what the deliverer does. Verse 5. I mean, you talk about, I mean, Dave is, don't feel bad if you've ever been depressed, because Dave is right there, too. His name means beloved, but here's the beloved depressed, despondent. The sorrows of hell surrounded me. The snares of death prevented me. Sounds like he's having a tough time. They confronted me. Look at verse 6. Make a note. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Amen. Remember, he started off saying who God was. If you don't know who God is, who do you call on when it gets tough? Who do you call on when it gets tough? If you don't know who God, because sometimes you can't call on other people because they just don't understand. And if they don't understand your God, if they don't understand the attributes of God, they don't understand you, and they definitely don't know how you understand how you deal with difficult situations. So you and I call on people who really can't help us. In my distress, at my lowest point, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. That is so powerful. Make a note of that. So we see that God answers prayer. We see that David prayed and God answered prayer. God answers prayer. So he lets us in right there to say, look, if you call upon God, if you know who God is, if you have that type of relationship, if you have that direct connect, can you hear me now type relationship? All right. Or maybe some of you already switched over to Sprint, but that's okay. So you can't hear. But but if you got that direct connect, David is saying that you can call on God. He will hear. He will answer at my lowest point. That's the relationship. That's the mature Christianity that you and I need. That's the mature. That's where God's moving us to, that type of mature Christianity. And I'm telling you now, in this world today, with it all falling apart, with elections and debates and Black Lives Matter and All Lives Matter and all this other terrorism and stuff, you better know how to call on God. You can't be playing this. What are we doing? Storing up our riches for the last days? Because this stuff could be over at any minute the way it's going now. Christ could come back at any time. I'm not one of those biblical end time scholars, but the ones I've been listening to, they say there's nothing left to happen for Christ to come back. Christ can come back at any time. The gospel's being preached all over the world through social media and everything else. So all I'm saying is we got to have this type of relationship because it's getting crazy out there. And those of us that are somewhat older, we've seen a lot. We've seen this whole thing deteriorate. It was a time on the radio you wouldn't hear a curse word. It was a time when TV would go off. You wake up, that beep would wake you up, and Ray Charles would be singing God Bless America or something. Can't believe I stayed up this late where TV actually went off. Where you'd walk by a church and you put out your cigarette, you wouldn't cuss, you wouldn't do any of that. You'd see one of the ladies walking, and you knew that was such and such mom or grandma, and you stopped doing whatever you were doing. And if she checked you and sent you home, you would hope she wouldn't call, because you know you're going to get in trouble then. I mean, we've just seen this whole thing go from here to there. And if you don't see the writing on the wall, then you're not looking. That's And you don't have no walls if you don't see the writing on the wall, which is not good. So in order to stay connected to God, we have to pray. Let me read that again. Look at David saying, in my distress, underline that. This is King David, the man after God's own heart. Do not feel bad when you're going through tough times. Do not feel bad when it seems like your whole world is falling apart. If King David had to go through it and he had a direct connect to God, it's a reason why. He said, in my distress, I called upon. Who do you call upon in your distress? In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. God wants us to pray. God wants us to call out to him. Turn to the book next door to Psalms, which is Proverbs. Proverbs 15 and 29. And then notice the pattern that David lifted up God before his problems. He lifted up God even before he prayed. He recognized God, who God was, before he prayed. Notice the formula, the order. Proverbs 15 and 29. So as we slide into from the new to the old, which led us to the Psalms, because it says as new creatures, we speak to each other and admonish each other and encourage each other in Psalms. Then David kind of shifted to prayer. So we're going to talk a little bit about prayer. And then we'll go back and forth to Psalms and prayer and new and old. All this is under the heading of new and old. 15:29. This is Solomon speaking, David's son. So men, of those of us who have children, we see that something was transferred from father to son. Amen. Something is always transferred from father to son. Good, bad, or ugly. Something is transferred. Men, those of us that are fathers, we're transferring something to our sons and our daughters. Either godliness or ungodliness. But remember, something is always transferred. So here's Solomon speaking, who was David's son. 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Same thing David said. David said, God heard me. Solomon says, God hears me. But he says he's far from the wicked, from those that are not living right, those that are not practicing godliness. And you can get up at an award show and somewhere else and say, I want to thank God. And God's like, oh, he ain't talking about me. You know, we make a lot of things our God. Hey, I want to thank God, and he ain't talking about me. God said, I'm so far from him, you wouldn't believe it. So here, as I was studying this, it shifted me a little bit to the understanding the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Remember, we talked about the struggle and the practice. If God didn't listen to those of us that were struggling, then he ain't listening to, he wouldn't hear nobody. Somebody say amen, because we all got struggles and issues that we go through. So what separates us from being righteous and unrighteous? And then if it was up to us to be righteous, we'd never make it. So go with me to 1 John. So we make sure we understand that we, the only way that we're righteous is through Jesus Christ. So yes, God hears your prayer, and yes, you are righteous because of what Jesus did and not because of what you did or didn't do. It's never based upon us. It's the, for by grace are we saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We could not work for it. We could not work for our righteousness. I got you. We could not work for our righteousness. We have to accept it through Jesus Christ. But here's the key. So since we are righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ, make sure you are praying. Take advantage of being righteous. Take advantage of your prayers being heard. And yes is an answer. No is an answer. Not now is an answer. Wait, sit still, and be quiet is an answer. It's not the genie in the bottle. It's not the name it and claim it and blab it and grab it. It's not that type of God. But hear what I'm saying, family. Since we are righteous through the blood of Jesus, what a tragedy when we don't pray and when we don't trust God and we don't call on all the names of God and believe that God is who he says he is and he can do what he said he can do. That's a tragedy. We'd walk out of here this morning having access to the King and never talk to him. That's sad. So let me take you to the scripture first that talks about us being righteous. But it's so much here. Y'all know I got distracted just trying to read this. I was like, oh, this is so I got to read this whole thing. All right. But let me go to verse 9 and I'm gonna go back up. But did I say 1 John 1:9? I'm gonna say it now. All right. 1 John 1:9. See, because this was my trouble when I was studying all week. Now I'm like, well, you got to read 8 and you got to read 7 and you got to read. OK. All right. I'm going to get there. And you got to read 2. But let me go to the righteousness part first. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You go back to Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. Oh, so now since I confess my sins to Jesus Christ, I'm righteous. Now I can pray to God and he hears me. Amen. Take advantage of it. We were studying in Leviticus Wednesday night and it was chapter 26. It was talking about all the wickedness that the people were doing, God's people. And then God says, if they will confess, if they come clean, I'll forgive them. Same thing he's telling us. If we confess, that's the problem. If when we get too proud, I don't need to confess. I'm not as bad as so-and-so and such and such. And we were talking Wednesday night because it was the same thing. And it was talking in Leviticus. And they asked one of the presidential candidates if they ever felt the need to confess their sins to God. No, I don't need to do that. I'm good. But see, don't get too upset with him because we have people inside and outside the church. They don't feel the need. No, I'm good. I'm not as bad as other people. I don't need to confess any type of sin. Heard pastors say, man, I haven't sinned since I got saved. What? Really? Okay. Yeah, he must have just got saved. So, but you have it here. This is what the whole Christian walk is about, having atonement for our sins. So we can approach God, so we can approach a holy God, a righteous God. Because we can't approach him with all the sin in our life. So now, okay, I'm going to try and get to as much of this as I can. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not, that you don't practice sin. But if any man sin, we have an advocate. We have an intercessor with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation. He's the replacement for our sins. But not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. Isn't that something? They try and say God is not inclusive, that he's separate. He creates division. God says, hey, look, I'll forgive the whole world. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever can't get more inclusive than whosoever. The whole world can't get it more inclusive than the whole world. What do you mean by the whole world? I mean the whole world. God doesn't discriminate. We discriminate against God and say, I don't want it. I got this, God. Now I'll figure this out my way. Then he gets into the obedience thing in chapter 3. I mean, in verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. How do you know if you know God? You keep his commandments. How can you tell if someone knows God? You see them living a certain way. Remember, we don't judge, but we are fruit inspectors. Say you'll know them by their fruit. You can tell if someone on your job knows God by the way they conduct themselves. They're stealing from the job and cheating on the time card and doing that and saying they know God. It's like, okay. Not sure. You might want to rethink that. Because if you really trust God, you don't have to cheat, lie, steal, nothing. God has it for you. He has it for you. Verse 3 again. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Verse 4. He that say, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Pretty strong words. Pretty strong words. But this is the mature place that God wants us to be at. But whoso keep his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Let me read that again. But whoso keeps God's word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So the love of God, when we're obedient, the love of God is activated, is alive in our life. Right? Did I say that right? When we're obedient, the love of God is reflected or displayed through our lifestyle. When I'm obedient to God, it shows by the way I conduct my life that I love God. Let me see. The love of God prevents me from doing certain things that would break God's heart. Because I love him, I'm obedient, so the love doesn't allow me to break God's heart by doing certain things. But if I do, I go right to God and confess that sin so I'm righteous, so that my connection isn't broken. Amen. All right. Okay, so let's break it down and make it a little more practical. The love for my wife prevents me from doing certain things that would break her heart. Right? Because he said, if you love me, you keep my commandments, you do what I say. And it's reflected when the love is displayed through obedience. So you don't do things to break God's heart. You don't do things to break your wife's heart if you love them. If you love your kids, you don't do things that break their heart and damage them. So the love is displayed and it's activated through obedience. If I love my church family, then there's certain things I wouldn't do to break you all's heart and to damage what we have here with God. So this love is easy to be displayed. And I mean, you can tell what's love and what's not. And so we can't say that we love when we're not activating. It's not active in our life, not displaying it. But if we do, then we ask for forgiveness, right? And we get back on it, but we don't make it a practice. And to say that we love God and we're practicing not loving God. We don't say we love our spouse and we practice not loving our spouse. We'll say we love our kids and we practice not loving our kids. The obedience and the love for God is activated and displayed and prevents me from doing certain things because of the love that's activated in my life. Ivy, did I go? Did I miss? We're going to have to get the processing it. Okay. For he that saith he abideth in him ought to himself also to walk even as he walked. So we should be walking like Jesus walked. That's what it's saying. You love Jesus, you're following Jesus, then walk like Jesus. Now let's go up to John 1:1. 1 John 1:1. Just go up and we'll come down and then we'll close it out. It was just too good not to mention some of these things. Here's John, and he's speaking always to the Jews to show them that Jesus was everything he said he was. And that Jesus was everything that David called him in Psalms 18, verse 1 and 2. Everything that John saw when they were with him. The existing one, the Almighty, the Deliverer, the fortress, the high tower, the shield, the buckler, the horn of salvation. Everything that was in Psalms 18 and 1 is everything that John saw in 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. John said we actually walked with the word of life. Verse 2, for the life was revealed or manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father. Jesus Christ is also eternal life which was with the Father and was revealed unto us. Which we have seen and have declared unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That your life might be full. That whatever that you're searching for is found in Jesus Christ. So you don't have to go searching anymore, that your fellowship can be with us, but not only with us, but with God the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. That's why I'm writing to you, that your joy would be full. That we've seen him, we've heard him, we've walked with him, and we're declaring it unto you. That's what we call in history a primary resource. Someone who was actually there. Remember John, he's the only one that died a natural death. They just put him on the island of Patmos and said, see you later until you die. All the other ones were killed because they wouldn't shut up about Jesus Christ. They just let John waste away. Verse 5, and then I'll get to verse 9, and I'll stop and we'll close out. Then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. Remember we talked about when he healed the blind man, he said, I'm the light of the world. Then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk or we practice darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That is some good news. And in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is just some good stuff. And as it leads to the righteousness, and as we close out, family, since God has made us righteous through the blood of Jesus, make sure we're praying, because God hears the prayers of the righteous. Yes, no, not now. Wait, sit down, be quiet. All the things our parents used to tell us, right? It's a direct reflection of God. Let us close out. We'll pick up somewhere around here next week. Amen. Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you and we bless you, Lord. And we need you right now, Lord. We need you to be our rock and our fortress, Lord, our castle, our defense, Lord. We need you to be the Almighty. We need you to be the existing one, Lord. We need to know that you are there. We need to know that you are the deliverer, Lord. Deliver us. Make that way of escape, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. We love you. We thank you that your ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. And just like in David's distress, he called upon you, Lord. We call upon you, whether we're distressed or whether we're feeling blessed. We're calling on you right now, Lord. And we say, Lord, thank you for forgiving us of our sins. Thank you for cleansing us of all unrighteousness, that we can call on you and that your ears, it goes right to your ears and you hear us. We're praying for our country. We're praying for our leadership. We're praying for our families, our kids, our grandkids, Lord. We're praying for salvation. We're praying for regeneration. We're praying for rededication. praying for our city, our state, all the leaders, Lord. We're praying for fathers. We're praying for mothers, Lord. Cover and keep. We're praying for our kids. We're praying for our grandkids. We're praying for our finances, Lord. Let us be good stewards of what you've given us. Praying for our siblings, Lord. Our brothers and sisters who might not know you, who we grew up with, who we love. We're praying for them, Lord. Send laborers into their life, Lord. Have someone cross their path that would share the good news of Jesus Christ with them, and they would have an authentic relationship with you. Not just saying God, but recognizing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So we bless you, Lord. Maybe someone's here and saying, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ. If that's you, elevate your hand. You've never accepted Christ, but you see that he covers your sins and you recognize that you have sin and you need someone to cover them. If that's you, elevate your hand. Maybe you're saying, Pastor, I just need to rededicate. I just got to get back on track. I see that light and darkness can't mix. I can't say I love God and I'm practicing and hanging out in darkness. It's not working. If that's you and you want to rededicate, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Or maybe you're looking for a church home and you've been visiting and you say, Pastor, today's the day. I just want to make it official. If that's you, elevate your hand. Lord, how we love you, how we thank you, how we bless you. God, give us the strength, give us the courage to call on each and every one of your names, Lord, each morning, reading Psalms 18, verses 1 and 2, to get a biblical perspective is before we go out and face our jobs and our coworkers and our bosses and our friends and all that we do, Lord. Lord, be everything to us that we need. Be our provider, be our protector, be our deliverer. Be our shield, be our buckler, be our refuge, be our strength. Be the Almighty. We love you for it, Lord, and we bless you because there's none like you and there's nothing too hard for you. And we believe it, Lord, and we stand on it. Thank you, Jesus, for making us righteous. For being a propitiation for our sins, for replacing the sin that was upon you, the sin that should have been upon us. Lord, we can't thank you enough. Give us traveling graces as we leave this place, but not your presence. Oh, we love you, Lord. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed. Is Mama back yet?
Yep, she's coming today.
She better stop fooling around.